Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Bob Dacey, once again, substituting for Alex Jones. Bob Dacey, the host of the Simple Truth Cable Access TV talk show here in Austin, Texas. We're going to have Mr. Abramson hooked up here in a little bit, but as soon as he's ready, we'll bring him on. But let me just continue a little bit more with my attack on this North American Union and the document, Building a North American Community, CFR Task Force's blueprint for how to destroy the United States of America and be happy about it the whole time. Another thing they say is we need to increase information and intelligence gathering at the local and national levels in both law enforcement and military organizations. Law enforcement cooperation should be expanded from its current levels through the exchange of liaison teams and better use of automated systems for tracking, storing, and disseminating timely intelligence. This should be done immediately. Okay, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The American military and the Mexican military need to share information. Oh, boy. Mexican military. That's great. They're just as crooked as the rest of everything in Mexico, you know? I mean, we talked about it yesterday, you know? You got these few rich families in Mexico. The drug cartels run everything. Dr. Tworsi was talking about the fact that the drug companies are buying the Mexican trucking companies right now. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Wake up to the insanity. Okay, what we should do now, we need to intensify Mexican efforts to accelerate its economic development. We need to increase the federal tax base. You see, one of the things that the globalists love to do to encourage their pie-in-the-sky schemes of global government is to lend some poor, dumb country a bunch of money. And then once they've done it, make sure they can't pay it back, and then they got the squeeze on, and that's what they do. And in order to put the squeeze on, then the local crooks that run the country have to increase the tax on their poor, dumbed down slave population, and that's what the CFR is suggesting here. They say explore with the World Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank ways to use multilateral development funds to most effectively address the North American Development Challenge. English translation, tax Americans to pay for the Mexican portion of the Trans-Texas Corridor. It says it right here, established a North American Investment Fund for Infrastructure and Human Capital. The United States and Canada should establish a North American Investment Fund to encourage private capital flow into Mexico. Yeah, private capital flow from your wallet, you the American taxpayer, into the wallets of the contractors who are going to build the Mexican portion of the Trans-Texas Corridor so the communist Chinese goods can get up here much, much more efficiently without having to deal with any disgusting American workers like longshoremen or Teamsters or American truckers. We can't have that because, you know, Walmart needs to get those goods in here cheap. And they talk about counterpart funding through higher tax revenues from Mexico. Again, tax the slaves. The fund design should consider such issues as incentives and debt absorption. And they say we need to enhance the capacity of the North American Development Bank. And that is what Senator John Cornyn is doing in the U.S. Senate. He introduced that bill earlier this year, 3622, to do exactly that. And, you know, he was kind of not careful about it because the wording he used in the bill is exactly, precisely the wording in this document from the Council on Foreign Relations. So he got caught with his pants down and he withdrew the bill temporarily. But don't worry, it'll be back because, you know, we got to build the North American superhighway, you know, because the communist Chinese are demanding it. So, okay, well, we're going to take another break, and when we get back, hopefully we will have Daniel Abramson from FalseFlagNews.com.
It's year, after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, the White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfall, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. This is not a debt consolidation company. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt. Instead of living each day in fear, it's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024. And ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, we're back on The Alex Jones Show with Bob Basie substituting for Alex Jones. Before I bring on our guest, Daniel Abramson of FalseFlagNews.com, I'm kind of on a roll here right now in this North American Union, and I would be remiss if I didn't cover this. Kevin Smith just handed me a new report by Dr. Jerome Corsi, the man we had on our show yesterday, writer for Human Events Magazine and WorldNetDaily.com. If you go to WorldNetDaily.com, you can click on this article just posted under the topic of New World Disorder. North American Union leader says merger just a crisis away. Leading intellectual force behind the effort toward the EU-style unity looks at the future. And this is, of course, about my friend, the traitor, Professor Robert Pastor, the Marxist, communist, CFR trash, who is the principal architect of building a North American community, the paper that I have been reading from the last several minutes. I'm not going to go over this whole thing right now, perhaps later on in the show, but he actually, in this paper, let me just read a little bit of it. Robert Pastor, a leading intellectual force in the move to create an EU-style North American community, told WorldNet Daily he believes a new 9-1-1 crisis could be the catalyst to merge the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. I want to read that again. Are you sitting down? Are you starting to grasp this? Robert Pastor, a leading intellectual force in the move to create an EU-style North American community, told WorldNet Daily he believes a new 9-1-1 crisis could be the catalyst to merge the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. Pastor, a professor at American University says, in such a case, the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, or SPP, launched in 2005 by the heads of the three countries at a summit in Waco, Texas, could be developed into a continental union complete with a new currency, the Amero, that would replace the U.S. dollar just as the Euro has replaced the national currencies of Europe. In May 2005, Pastor was co-chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations Task Force that produced a report entitled Toward a North American Community, which he claimed is the blueprint behind the SPP declared by President Bush, Mexico's then-President Vicente Fox, and Canada's then-Prime Minister Paul Martin. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to go to worldnetdaily.com and read this whole thing. I'll try to get back to it later on in the show. What do you know? Everything I've been saying is being confirmed by American University Robert Pastor, professor here, Robert Pastor, who is a traitor to his country, a sellout, a Benedict Arnold, a Judas, et tu, Brute, a Brutus, backstabbing the United States of America. Thank you, American University Professor Robert Pastor, for confirming in an interview with Jerome Corsi for WorldNet Daily everything we said about you, sir. You are pathetic. Okay, now we're going to change subjects. We have with us Daniel Abramson from FalseFlagNews.com. Daniel, are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, gee, you know, I don't even really know much about you. I got handed this thing, and I understand that you're a young kid, aren't you? You're like 23 years old?
Yeah, 23. That's dead on accurate.
Who are you? What do you do? And let's get into this website of yours, False Flag News. Yeah, the microphone is yours. Have at it.
Absolutely, and thank you. It's a good question to start with. Yeah, I'm 23 years old. I'm a college student. I'm a journalist. I'm a researcher. I'm a musician, and I also host a daily radio show from 9 to 10 Eastern Time. That's 8 to 9 Central on RBN. That's Monday to Friday. So I do the radio gig every night. In the meantime, I monitor the war games and the terror drills. That's become a specialty of mine because when we look into the origins of false flag terror, whether it's in the 9/11 attacks or the attacks of 7/7 in London, what we find is a propensity of drills which clearly mimic the attacks that happen. So in the case of 9/11, you had the military, the NRO, and the CIA running drills where hijacked jets were flying around the country, some of which even crashed into government buildings. And the drill then is flipped live and becomes the terror attack using government patsies, often set up as Arabs. And then in the case of the 7/7 bombings in London, you had drills being run by Peter Power, Advisor Consultants, and Scotland Yard, which very closely mimicked the exact same buses, trains, and spots where the bombings went off. So what we see is that drills and war games and movements around the world can be a good prognosticator both of upcoming false flag terror attacks and also potential wars. You know, one of the things I've been covering recently on my program is movements in the Persian Gulf. We now have the Eisenhower Strike Group, which is moving into the Persian Gulf for a potential strike on Iran. So by monitoring these different movements, the military movements, you can kind of see the news before it happens. So that's my specialty. And, you know, in the meantime, I do a lot of music. I'm putting out a CD with a lot of songs about the New World Order. It's hip-hop music, so it's a lot more for younger people so that, you know, a lot of people don't have the time to read a 450-page book or to sit down and even listen to an hour-long radio show because sometimes that's just not the medium they're used to. It's become the society has become dumbed down to the point where people's attention spans are very short. So sometimes in order to educate people, you have to do it in the shortest amount of time possible. So I'll make songs that are 3.5-4 minutes long and try to educate people who may not otherwise want to listen to a lot of this important material.
Okay, so you're talking about your website is devoted to letting people know, watching, kind of reading the tea leaves. Hey, look, they're doing some drills over here, and you know what happens with drills? They tend to morph into reality. That's what you're doing.
Well, listen, you know, the fact is that they might run 10,000 drills a year, one of them goes live, we've got a big problem.
Well, that's the question. If I let me play devil's advocate here for just a minute. Okay, we know that on the morning of September 11th, the United States government was running several drills having to do with hijacked aircraft, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's not even debatable. That is a fact, and there was a bunch of them.
Richard Myers and Ralph Eberhardt in front of the 9/11 Commission admitted as much.
Okay, if I was them and I wanted to cover my tracks and say, well, don't you know, look, you people say we were running a drill involving hijacked aircraft on the morning of September 11th, I'd say, oh, we run those drills every day. We do that every day. Do you have any kind of sense of correlation there that would diffuse that argument that, oh, you're just leaping to conclusions? We're always running drills involving hijacked aircraft.
Well, in fact, you know, what's interesting about 9/11 is that it was the highest concentration of drills and war games ever in one day. So it wasn't just that they were running one hijacking drill. They were running so many that the air forces were depleted. So normally NORAD would have intercepted those planes. And what you had was as many as 27 different jets which were supposedly hijacked. So when we look at the NORAD tapes, which came out in Vanity Fair, the flight controllers are saying, I think it's a damn input. And they thought it was part of the drill. What this did was it delayed the response. Now, you could argue that perhaps Al-Qaeda or the hijackers knew that these drills were being run that day. You could argue it was just a case of bad luck. But then you look into the war games that were being run that day, because there are two things that were happening on 9/11. On the one hand, we had the hijacking drills. One of them being run simulated a plane crashing into the National Reconnaissance Office headquarters. That's a very shadowy group. The NRO has a budget bigger than the NSA, bigger than the CIA, and very few people talk about the NRO. They're running a drill where a hijacked jet crashes into their building. So we could say that's very similar, right? But then we look into the war games that were being run that day, simulating an all-out nuclear war with Russia. And, in fact, they were simulating a nuclear strike on the Russians and then a counterstrike back at the United States. And General Ivashov, who is the head of the Russian army, during September 11th, said at a recent conference that not only did the Russian military know that 9/11 was an inside job, he said, furthermore, the war games that they were running were so realistic, they thought it was going to be World War III that day. They thought it was going to be nuclear Armageddon. What the drills were a backdoor, that if the attacks go live and then the things become escalated, they then have the war games in place. So it was a high concentration of drills. Furthermore, when you look at the 7/7 attacks, you have to ask yourself, what are the chances that Scotland Yard and Visor Consultants would be running the exact same drill with the exact same buses, the exact same trains being bombed at nearly the exact same time? The kind of chances of that happening are just too great. And, you know, we have to look at the reason these drills are used is to confuse good people within the intelligence agency. So a lot of people were looking into Muhammad Atta at the flight schools, and they're told, back off. He's part of the Able Danger program. Then the drills that morning, not everybody in the FAA is a traitor to our country. Not every person in NORAD is a traitor. So they're told, well, we've got as many as 27 hijacked jets, and they're being flown all around the country to a lot of dead ends. I think that the drills are used to confuse the good patriotic people within the intel agencies and the government bureaucracy.
Okay, so we're having a multi-level attack, false flag terror attack, a staged on the United States of America on September 11th. And they've got multiple redundancy built into the plan, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and this is a way for them. Look, if I were going to engineer a false flag attack, this is exactly how I would do it. Because you know that if you have a few coup plotters at the top, you know, to carry out a successful false flag attack, what you need is moles within different intelligence agencies. So you had people in the FBI who, when their lower people were saying, you know, out of the Phoenix memo or out of Minneapolis, were saying, we think that there's Arabs at flight schools and they may hijack a jet and crash it into the World Trade Center. In fact, that was remarked by Kenneth Williams in the Phoenix memo. He says, we think they may crash a plane into the World Trade Center.
I think he also said that 70 times, I believe. I think that's what I read. He was screaming it. He didn't just issue a memo.
What I'm saying is then who in the FBI, there were higher-ups, people like Dale Watson and people like, who's the other fellow, Dave Frasca. Dave Frasca and Dale Watson were in positions to have this information, but it was never passed along. You know, so you have certain people within the intelligence agencies who just, let me say, for legal purposes, fail to do their job properly. But then within the FAA and NORAD, I mean, if you look at the NORAD tapes, a lot of these people were begging. They're saying, do we have the shoot-down order? What the hell is going on here? And they're just being sent all over the country. Now, the thing about those NORAD tapes is all we saw was the ground-level people. We never saw the communications between Larry Arnold and Colonel Marr and Ralph Eberhardt, the higher-ups in
Daniel,
NORAD.
Hang on. We'll be right back after the break.
Oh, Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that the United Nations has always chosen socialist one-worlders for its leadership? Did you know that the United Nations seeks power to control the environment, population, children, and the whole world? They want to dissolve our Constitution and Bill of Rights. We would like to help you understand why these things are happening and how they fulfill Bible prophecy by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. And request your free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and makes a great stocking stuffer. Honest, Wrist Ease provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, wristease.com. Once again, wristease.com.
Okay, we're back on the Alex Jones Show this December the 15th, 2006. This is Bob Dacey substituting for Alex Jones, and we have as our guest Daniel Abramson of FalseFlagNews.com, who specializes in looking at what our little government agencies are doing as a potential indicator as to something nasty that just might happen, because for some strange reason, when bad things happen, the government seems to be running drills having to do with the exact same thing. What an amazing coincidence. Daniel, before the break, we were talking about these NORAD tapes, and I want you to go ahead and continue on with that line of discussion. Tell us what these NORAD tapes were and what they revealed.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Brunner wrote for Vanity Fair magazine. He was given the exclusive access to the NORAD tapes, and they're quite telling. You know, for a long time, 9/11 alternative researchers like myself have pointed to the drills and suggested that not only were these used to confuse the good people within NORAD and the FAA, but in fact, one of these drills may have been the one that went live. I just want to read to you a drill. This was not run on September 11th, but was actually created by NORAD before September 11th. This is from CNN.com. It was called Amalgam Virgo. It said two planes, a Delta 757 with actual Delta pilots in the flight deck, will be hijacked by FBI agents as it makes its trip from Salt Lake City to Honolulu. The plane will be diverted in midair. And it talks about how they had FBI agents posing as hijackers in drills created before September 11th. It's very possible that during that day, the actual attacks were bootlegged through a drill, sort of a lost terror drill, which was not reported. And we don't know a lot about some of these drills that were going on that day. For example, Apollo Guardian. Very little is known about what was going on during Apollo Guardian. And again, you know, one of the things people often say about a conspiracy theory is it's difficult and it doesn't meet the merits of fact because there would be too many people involved. You know, if there were a real conspiracy, wouldn't somebody have come out and said something? But in fact, what you do is you use the drills as a means to confuse people. For example, you know, like I said, the people in the FAA and NORAD would not have seen that as a conspiracy. They would have said, what an unfortunate thing it was that we were running drills that day. We were so confused. The shoot-down orders didn't come through. It was just a disaster and poor planning. Furthermore, when you look into a lot of the backgrounds of the alleged hijackers, Muhammad Atta had strange connections to the Able Danger program being run by SOCOM, the intelligence group of the military. Furthermore, at least five of the alleged hijackers were training at U.S. Military bases. For example, the Pensacola Air Base in Florida. Muhammad Atta trained at the Maxwell Air Base in Alabama. You had Muhammad Atta at the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California. And this was all testified. You know, people say, where are the whistleblowers? Colonel Steve Butler, a 25-year Air Force veteran, said, I trained Muhammad Atta as a spy at the Monterey base. So I think when a lot of the FBI agents who were, for better or worse, fairly patriotic people looking into these flight schools, looking into the identities of some of these people, were going to their higher-ups and saying, look, we've got a problem here. We think there may be a terror attack on Lower Manhattan. They were told, back off. This is part of a top secret program. It's part of a drill. Just don't say anything. We'll take care of it.
Well, Daniel,
and this is the way that good people are neutralized.
I was reading the mainstream media, and they said that Muhammad Atta was a crazed, fanatical Muslim. I mean, how do you get a crazed, fanatical Muslim to work for the United States government? I mean, that's...
Yeah, and look, you know, this goes to the, you know, mythology of Al-Qaeda when you begin looking into it. And the amazing thing is this is all very mainstream. You look at Osama bin Laden, and it's reported in Le Figaro and The Guardian that 2 months before 9/11, Osama bin Laden meets with the top two CIA agents in the Middle East at the American hospital in Dubai while he's receiving dialysis.
Yeah,
this is
long
as he's on the FBI's 10 most wanted. You know, Ayman al-Zawahiri, bin Laden's right-hand man and really supposedly the brains behind al-Qaeda, has been protected by the British government and MI6 for 25 years plus. You look into somebody like Ali Mohammed, who worked at Fort Bragg. He was in special operations with the Delta Forces. This is supposed to be Osama bin Laden's top tactician. And he was working at Fort Bragg. I mean, every time we look into the funding of these groups, you know, the Mujahideen being funded by the CIA with billions of dollars, when we look into who was running the drills that day, where these supposed hijackers came from. And furthermore, you know, somebody like Muhammad Atta was at Huffman Aviation, trick-taking flights there. Huffman Aviation was busted with 43 pounds of heroin on one of their flights. And this flight school, which was, you know, front-owned by Wally Hilliard, had been tied up in the drug-dealing game. So, you know, you get into this network of Iran-Contra drug-running and weapons smuggling and the same people involved here, and it shows that this terrorism does not emerge out of a cave, doesn't come out of Afghanistan or Waziristan or whatever they try to claim, that this is a functionary of the intelligence agency, created in-house, and then they use their drills and they use their programs to confuse the good people within the...
All right, Daniel, we'll be right back after the break. And this is Bob Basie, Fallon Channel.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Good morning, honey. Wow, the weather is beautiful, the cabin is terrific, and it's the first day of our vacation.
Yeah.
Honey, is there something wrong?
Yeah, I just realized we forgot to pack the travel Berkey system. I can't drink this cabin water. And what am I going to do when I'm out on the lake? Now the whole vacation is ruined.
Honey, cheer up. I brought our Sport Berkey purifiers.
What?
Yeah, I know you're picky about not having pathogenic bacteria, organic chemicals, heavy metals or foul tastes and odors in the water, so I packed our Sport Berkey purifiers.
You know, this is a terrific cabin. And wow, have you noticed the beautiful weather?
Don't ruin your vacation. Get a travel Berkey today for only $209 or get a Sport Berkey for only $39. Call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Travel Berkey not available in Iowa.
The statistics are heart-wrenching. According to the CWC, of the 43 million people who have served in the major wars, from the Revolutionary War to the Gulf War, 3 million never made it home alive. Most likely, each one of us can say we either knew someone who served or know a brave soul who is currently serving our country. Now there is a unique way to pay tribute to the courageous men and women who spend their lives protecting our freedom and to those who have lost their lives doing so. Davis Products is offering high-quality, solid-cast aluminum memorial markers for your American flag. Each memorial marker is specifically designed to represent one of 15 wars. All markers include a 3/8 inch pointed and threaded aluminum rod, painted and highlighted for an appearance that is unforgettable. What better way to pay homage to our enlisted loved ones? Davis Products memorial markers are only $9 a piece and can be ordered by calling 814-827-4946. That's 814-827-4946. Or visit davis-products.com. That's davis-products.com.
Back. This is Bob Basie, substituting for Alex Jones on the Alex Jones Show. We've been talking with Daniel Abramson of FalseFlagNews.com. You want to be sure and go there, FalseFlagNews.com. Before I get back with Daniel, I want to read an article that just came out yesterday from Paul Joseph Watson on PrisonPlanet.com, which punctuates what he is saying. Actually, he said a minute ago that all the people that doubt September 11th was an inside job say, well, where are the whistleblowers? How come people aren't coming out? And what you don't know is they are coming out, just the mainstream media won't touch them. There's lots of them, and a new one has come out. Let me just read from Paul Joseph Watson's article. Boston air traffic controller says 911 an inside job. A former Boston Center air traffic controller has gone public in his assertion that 911 was an inside job and that Donald Rumsfeld and the Pentagon tracked three of the four flights from the point of their hijacking to hitting their targets. In an astounding telephone interview, Robin Horden claims air traffic controllers have been ignored or silenced to protect the true perpetrators of 911. Later on, it says he quickly concluded on the very afternoon of the attacks that they could represent nothing other than an inside job. Quote, on September 11th, I'm one of the few people who really within quite a few hours of the whole event taking place just simply knew that it was an inside job, and it wasn't because of the visuals, the collapses, whatever. I knew that it was an inside job. I think within about 4 or 5 o'clock that afternoon, And the reason I knew is because when those aircraft did collide and when we got the news and information on where the aircraft were and where they went, if they knew where the aircraft were and were talking to them at a certain time, then the normal protocol is to get fighter jet aircraft up to assist, end quote. Gordon said that from personal experience, he knew the system was always ready to immediately scramble intercepting fighters, and that any reversal of that procedure would have been unprecedented and abnormal. He had also personally handled both real hijacking situations in his airspace and other emergency procedures. Gordon said the only way the airliners could have avoided being intercepted was if a massive electrical and communications failure had occurred, which it didn't on that day, adding there was, quote, no way, end quote, hijacked airliners could have reached their targets otherwise. So, Daniel, there you have another one of these non-existent whistleblowers coming out. Tell us, again, go back to these NORAD tapes. Tell these tapes, what happened to these tapes? Can you tell us that?
Well, you know, they were hidden from the public for a long time, and obviously, what we're told is that Vanity Fair was given the complete tapes. Who knows? You know, these could have been like Nixon's tapes, and there's gaps in the middle. But what you see is, even at the lower level, the confusion. As Richard Clark said in front of the 9/11 Commission, they thought as many as 27 different jets were hijacked that morning, and it led to great confusion. But eventually they're able to find a lot of these things, and what they then begin asking for is the shoot-down order. Do we have the order to shoot these things down? And the order just never comes through. And then we need to begin looking into the history that a few months before 9/11, the shoot-down powers, which were normally given to some of the generals in NORAD, were then taken by Don Rumsfeld. And that was totally new precedent for this to happen. And so Rumsfeld is absent from the National Military Command Center and absent until about 10:30 when all these attacks are going on. His whereabouts fairly unknown. He's not in the conference call. So when you look at the stand-down, you have to think, how high did this chain of command go? And so we're only seeing the ground level where they said, we think it's a damn input. They thought that these hijacked jets might have been inputs, part of the drill. They were saying, is the drill going live yet? Is this part of the exercise or not? This is what a lot of the flight controllers in Boston were asking. And then what I want to know is what was on the tapes between Larry Arnold, Colonel Marr, Ralph Eberhardt, and a lot of the people who were operating out of Tyndall Air Force Base in Florida. I want to hear the tapes between Don Rumsfeld and the NORAD people. And furthermore, you know, I was talking about the drills that day, but also I talked about the war games. A lot of these nuclear war games were being run out of STRATCOM. And this is a window into the coup faction that is actually controlling the United States right now. They give us this shadow game with these puppets in the front, Republican, Democrat, and play these phony paradigms off one another. And the agenda always stays global tyranny. Well, of course, we have the European oligarchs and the masters of the Federal Reserve, but within this country, we also have the STRATCOM faction. And those are the people at OFA Air Force Base and Barksdale Air Force Base that were running the nuclear war games that day. Well, it gets interesting because Bush, after he's flown out during reading My Pet Goat, the Secret Service stands down, lets him read for 25 minutes while the country is under attack. And this is a man who is not in control. He's taken up his Air Force One plane is not given any cover. They don't give him any planes to protect the plane. They then send him where? To Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. Where does he then go next? OFA Air Force Base. So he goes to the two STRATCOM bases to meet with a lot of people that were running the drills that day. Furthermore, at the STRATCOM base in OFA, Warren Buffett is there meeting with 100 of the top CEOs, many of whom worked in the World Trade Center. And this is not conspiracy. This is very verifiable stuff. So it's amazing to watch Bush, the tinfoil puppet who they put out there, being flown around to a lot of the places where these drills were run. I think that is a window into the coup faction that was running the drills and really running the attacks that day.
I know that on your website, I want to read something here. I'd like you to comment on it. I am interested primarily in drill and war games research and exposing the agencies, corporations, think tanks, and media conglomerates, financiers, and social engineers who are deliberately dumbing down the world population. Unfortunately, the growing American police state means I must offer this disclaimer. Some people involved in the 911 truth movement in the past have been accidented or suicided. Who in the 911 truth movement has been accidented or suicided? Can you elaborate on that comment?
Sure. You know, there was a lot of talk that Hunter Thompson, for example, was writing stories about the collapse of the towers before he was before they said it was a suicide, and there was a lot of strange stories. People could never really figure out how those gunshots came in. Additionally, Gary Webb was rumored to be working on a bunch of 9/11 stories. He suffered two gunshots to the head, and that was called a suicide as well. I mean, we don't even know how many whistleblowers may have tried to come out. I know that many people have been threatened. You know, for example, Alex Jones said that he tried to call Colonel Steve Butler, the man who I mentioned before, who said, "I train Muhammad Atta," and he said Colonel Butler's wife was on the other end going, "You get off that phone right now." So I put it out there as a warning. You know, there was a guy named Danny Casarello back in the day who began to investigate the octopus, as he called it, the different intelligence agencies that which were really running the finance system and certainly the Iran-Contra drug and weapons smuggling, and he turned up dead in a bathtub. So, I, you know, I don't mean to say that, you know, I'm the one that they really want to go after. Certainly, the intelligence agencies have a way bigger threat than, you know, Dan Abramson. I'm sure they are far more interested in other people, but I put that out there because I don't put myself in dangerous situations, and I think a lot of people don't realize the risk people take in going after the truth, you know. The intelligence agencies have a vested interest in preventing this information from getting out. We know that they have blue lists. We know they have red lists. We know they're building at least $385 million worth of Halliburton camps, that they're setting up detention camps around this country. They passed the Military Commissions Act saying it is now legal to declare Americans enemy combatants, to torture, detain, and even murder them in military tribunals. So I just put that out there as a disclaimer. I live a very safe life, and I hope to continue to do so.
Well, speaking of people that kind of had an untimely demise, and this has to do with the potential of what you were talking about, the London bombings, the 7/7 bombings in London.
Yeah.
Do you have any authoritative information about what happened to that Brazilian electrician? Do you have any knowledge of that incident?
No, you know, there was a lot of speculation, I know, on Prison Planet that he may have seen something he wasn't supposed to, because the manner in which he was gunned down, they claimed that he was armed, and then it turned out he wasn't. I mean, they fired so many shots into him that it definitely, there were no warning shots. He was hit in the back. Certainly he knew something he wasn't supposed to, but, you know, as far as the details of it, I think it would just be speculation on my part.
If I may, on
just that topic of 7/7,
yeah.
I want to read this quote from Peter Power of Visor Consultants, just to flesh this out for people, because
now tell people who Visor Consultants is again.
Absolutely. Visor Consultants is a crisis management advice company. It's better known as a PR firm. So they do crisis control, disaster situations, and public relations. They were working with Scotland Yard on the morning of 7/7, and this is a quote from Peter Power, the head of Visor Consultants, as he spoke to the BBC. He says, "At 9:30 this morning, we were actually running an exercise for a company of over 1,000 people in London based on simultaneous bombs going off precisely at the railway stations where it happened this morning. So I still have hairs on the back of my neck standing up right now." So there you have it, the head of Visor Consultants saying we were running the drill that exactly mimicked the attacks that day. Now, you know, you can either be a coincidentalist, or you can say something else is going on here. You begin to look at the funding of these organizations, who runs them, and we begin to see that false flag terrorism is a vehicle to scare the population into giving up their rights. It's also a way to prop up their economic house of cards, which is collapsing right now as the dollar collapses, and as you mentioned, as they try to push us into the Amero and the North American Union.
Yeah, so they are, it's all related. You know, it's, if anybody doubts what has happened in regard to September 11th, go to one of these financial websites and find out, track the price of Halliburton stock on September 11th versus what happened to it in the intervening years. I mean, you know, coincidence theorists, they are interesting people. You know, they always talk about conspiracy theorists and how we're all, you know, you're all nuts and you come up with a couple of weird things and you spin this conspiracy theory with no facts to back it up. These coincidence theorists, they take the cake. I mean, they really do. They really do. Another false flag event, Daniel, I don't know if you know about this. We were going to have another guest on with you today, but he couldn't make it, this Nafis Mossadegh Ahmed. I was wondering, there's another false flag terrorism event that happened a few months ago in Iraq regarding the British SAS troops. Are you familiar with that incident?
Yeah, absolutely. These British SAS were attempting to bomb a mosque in Iraq, and they were dressed up as Arabs with traditional head garb. They were arrested, put in prison, and then broken out of prison. The prison walls were destroyed, and they were broken out. So here again, you have the obvious evidence that intelligence agencies have actually been stroking the violence. They actually want Sunni and Shia and Kurdish people at each other's throats. You would say, well, why would they want a civil war? How would this be conducive to Iraqi freedom or Iraqi democracy? Well, we need to look a little bit back into the past and understand that going back to the Project for the New American Century and going even further back to the Zionist document, which was the Policy for a Clean Break outlined for Benjamin Netanyahu in 1997 in the Likud government, they were talking about splitting Iraq into three different parts and taking control of the oil fields. And so splitting Iraq and doing a federal government with three different states has always been part of the plan. It is what they call their new map for the Middle East, and one of the ways to do this is to actually get a sectarian war going, and I think this is evidence of it.
So what you're saying, and I think I would have to agree with you, what you're saying, if I may put words in your mouth, is that the situation that's going on in Iraq right now is what they want. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look into a program called P2OG, the Proactive Preemptive Operations Group, I really encourage people to look into P2OG. This is a secret program designed by Rumsfeld to, quote, stimulate reactions amongst terrorist groups. And they're actually trying to get terrorist groups to strike the United States, to strike countries in the Middle East, and actually putting billions of dollars into this to try to get real organic terrorist groups to either hit this country or create sectarian violence in Iraq. Now, there's been some out there who say that all of the violence is coming from the Americans. Now, look, I'm not enough of an expert to say that, and I certainly don't think so. I think when you see, you know, 150 people murdered in one day, I think the U.S. got the ball rolling, and now they're just going to watch. You know, it's like a puppet master.
Well, I think that when you the old thing, you take a couple of cats and you throw them in a sack and shake them, they're going to fight. You know, but the question is, who threw the cats in the sack?
And now the question is, how are they going to expand the war? And that's where you see the differences between the neocons and Baker Hamilton are very different. See, now Baker Hamilton is saying, we'll have a larger regional Middle East war. We'll carve up Iraq into three parts. We'll send in 50,000 more troops. We may even get, you know, Syria and Iran involved in a regional war. We'll try negotiations. So the amazing thing is that the ruling class oligarchs differ very little on how this Middle East map will be reshaped. It is part of a genocidal agenda. It is very much coming out of Israel. When you look into the Iraq war, much of this came out of the Office of Special Plans. It came through a conduit of Larry Franklin and the AIPAC lobby, which were passing this information from Ariel Sharon's war cabinet into the vice president's office. And yet again, we're watching history repeat itself right now.
Yeah, another one you left out, another one of these well-known pieces of literature that came out in 1997 was Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard.
Absolutely.
In The Grand Chessboard, Zbig, who was a member of the Trilateral Commission, one of David Rockefeller's proteges, he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, my favorite organization. In his book, The Grand Chessboard, this was published in 1997, he just flat out said, you know, what you got to do here is you got to keep the barbarians from coming together. I mean, he said, you know, we got to keep these people in the Middle East where all the oil is from unifying, and we want them fighting amongst themselves. I mean, he actually said that in the book. So it's amazing.
Yeah, and I think this has always been part of their plan, and I think it will continue. You know, what I wanted to cover in this program, hopefully, is to talk about the different plans for war with Iran right now. And a lot of people look at Iraq and the failed occupation, that by Johns Hopkins estimates, at least 650,000 Iraqi civilians have been mass murdered since the shock and awe genocide began, and that does not count the depleted uranium, which is being sprayed around that country, which is hurting our troops. They bring those particles home to their families, and furthermore, turning Iraq into a Hiroshima times 100. I mean, that stuff will not be gone for billions of years. It produces cancer and leukemia and birth defects. That country will be a nuclear wasteland for the rest of our lifetimes going hundreds of generations,
Daniel,
you know, and then you look furthermore at the sanctions regime under Bill Clinton, because this is not a left-right thing. At least 1 million Iraqis killed under the regime of Bill Clinton, and Madeleine Albright saying they thought it was very worth it. So this genocide goes far back into the Democrats. It crosses party lines, and look at Zbigniew Brzezinski. He's somebody who, again, you know, he says he's against the Iraq war, but he's talking about invading Russia. He wants World War III or World War IV, as they call it. They just want to manage it slightly differently. And, of course, Brzezinski talked about the technotronic era, and he says it involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled society, such a society would be dominated by the elite. So, you know, he is talking about microchips. You know, 20 years ago, he says, such a society would be dominated by the elite, unrestrained by traditional values. The capacity to assert social and political control over the individual will vastly increase. It will soon be possible to assert almost continuous surveillance over every citizen and to maintain up-to-date, complete files containing even the most personal information about the health or personal behavior of every citizen in addition to more customary data. These files will be subject to instantaneous retrieval by the authorities. He wrote this in 1971. So what a visionary to see the kind of society that's being created with the biometric cashless society control grid, and it all links back to false flag terror. This is the method with which they scare us. They're like magicians. They get our eye off the ball, and they take away all our freedoms.
And just to express, you were talking, that quote was from Zbigniew Brzezinski, right?
Absolutely. And his it was from an intro to Jimmy Carter's book, I believe.
Okay, well, Daniel, hang on. We'll be back after the break with Daniel Abrahamson of falseflagnews.com.
After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, the White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfall, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hey ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
I was sitting in traffic, listening to the radio. George Strait was singing, Seashores of Old Mexico.
Okay, we're back on the Alex Jones Show. Once again, my name is Bob Dacey, substituting for Alex Jones. We're talking to Daniel Abrahamson of falseflagnews.com, and I just want to again start this segment with a story that I was given by Kevin Smith, one of the producers of this show, having to do with what Mr. Averson was just talking about. This is out of the Toronto Star, posted December the 10th by Kevin Haggerty. A generation is all they need. One day we will all happily be implanted with microchips and our every move will be monitored. The technology exists. The only barrier is society's resistance to the loss of privacy. Just want to read a few lines from this extensive article. From this point forward, microchips will become progressively smaller, less invasive, and easier to deploy. A series of tried and tested strategies will be marshaled to familiarize citizens with the technology. These will be coupled with efforts to pressure tainted social groups and entice the remainder of the population into being chipped. This, then, is how the next generation will come to be microchipped. In the West, chips will first be implanted in members of stigmatized groups. Commercial success is contingent on making serious inroads into tagging the larger population of law-abiding citizens. Employers will start to expect implants as a condition of getting a job. The U.S. military will lead the way, requiring chips for all soldiers as a means to enhance battlefield command and control. Following quickly behind will be the massive security sector, security guards, police officers. The remaining holdouts will grow increasingly weary of Luddite jokes and subtle accusations that they have something to hide. Exasperated at repeatedly watching neighbors bypass them in chipped lines, while they remain subject to the delays, inconveniences, and costs reserved for the unchipped, they too will choose the path of least resistance and get an implant. What might Hitler, Mao, or Milosevic have accomplished if their citizens were chipped, coded, and remotely monitored? While we cannot anticipate all the positive advantages that might be derived from this technology, the negative prospects are almost too terrifying to contemplate. Gee, I bet you the Dole's a big Yan Brzezinski. When he read that, he got all excited. What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, absolutely. And this has been a goal of theirs from the beginning. You know, authors have been writing about this for 20 years, suggesting that there would be a time when brain implants and microchips would be put into the human population, and everyone said, well, no one will support it. Well, they're fundamentally right about that. You know, in major polls, over 90% of Americans, whether it's children or adults, are against getting an implantable microchip. So if you look into documents like the Revolution in Military Affairs document from 1994, the military tries to think of ways that they will market these to people. And fundamentally, it is the same group that were behind the tagging of concentration camp and death camp victims in the Holocaust, IBM, which used their most advanced computers to document people and put them behind the camps. And in fact, when you look at the numbers on people's arms, that was thanks to IBM. IBM is now the number one backer of Verichip Corporation, which is designing a lot of these implantable GPS-tracked microchips for the human population. Furthermore, you have a company called CyberKinetics, which has the BrainGate chip. And all of this is coming quickly down the pipeline. You know, Bob, there was an interesting article a few days ago which said by 2026, scientists are estimating that we will be able to store all of our memories and our entire history in the size in a computer the size of a sugar cube, and that we will really begin to download our consciousness into computers. You know, the globalists are sitting on a wealth of technology, nanotechnology, which will undermine their oil empire, so they push this peak oil stuff on us. They're sitting on microchips, brain implant chips. They're using EMF weapons. And it's amazing to see the wealth of technology that they have. And in order to get people in a control grid where everything can be monitored, tracked, and traced, the microchip is the key. You take away paper currency, the fiat currency, and you just push everyone right into a system of numbers.
Hang on, Daniel. Hang on. We'll be right back after the break. We're up against the break. Bye.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.